You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda the Hall Psychic on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall Psychic all the way from the Gold Coast. What an amazing week it's been around this planet of ours. I hope you've been celebrating and enjoying just life and being happy to be alive as I am at the moment. It's a really nice time of the year here in Australia. We're sort of heading into autumn or fall and temperatures are getting a little bit cooler. Not much, but a little bit cooler. So it's a little bit more pleasant to sleep of a night. And this year, this week, I want to share with you, this is my 7th year. Today is the anniversary when I started on this radio slash TV program 7 years ago today. And it's been an amazing journey. I'm not going anywhere. Just want to be very clear on that. But I just wanted to mark the time that 7 years is a major milestone for all of us here at A1R Psychic Radio. And have a show on air for that amount of time and to still have people wanting to tune in and participate is a major thing. And it's a marvelous thing. So this week, the Simply Tarot card of the week is the Ace of Cups. Now, the Ace of Cups is a really pleasant card. It's the card of security. It's the card of the offer of a helping hand. And for most of us at some stage or another during our lives, we do need the offer of a helping hand, whether we accept it or whether we don't. Sometimes it's just nice to know that there's somebody there, that somebody cares, and somebody is prepared to put themselves out and offer us some sort of help or comfort in a time of need. And it's a really very pleasant, very happy sort of card that, you know, everything's flowing well in your life. You've got good friends, happiness, family around you, and you couldn't ask for really much more. And I hope that's how your week is going to transpire this week, that you feel as if you've got everything in the palm of your hand, that, you know, you've got the offer of help if you need it, that everything's flowing very well in your life, particularly as we head towards the Easter time of the year. And there's many different belief systems around that, many different religions that celebrate in different ways, but it is a very significant time of the year, and I believe that this is a really powerful card to come out in our lead up to Easter in, you know, little over 7 to 8 days, that we're all starting to get ready for the preparations of what it means to us individually. So this week is going to be an opportunity, I think, for each and every one of us to really sort of dig deep in our soul and see what it is that we can do to maybe be the offer of helping hand to maybe somebody else. Let's not wait for them to offer to help us. Let us be the first one to help them. So this week we've still got a really strong, powerful configuration in astrology. We've still got most of the planets sitting in one quarter of the chart, which I've spoken about on the last couple of shows, is not necessarily particularly common. Yes, it does happen from time to time, but when you have such a concentration there, it means the energies in a sense are very intensified. It means that it's not spread out around the zodiac. Yes, we only have 10 planets that, you know, spread themselves out over the 12 signs. But when you've got the 10 planets sitting almost in a concentration point of, you know, 3 signs, it makes it very, very concentrated. We only really actually have 9 planets sitting in that concentration at the moment because the moon has decided to be a little bit rogue and sit in an opposite sign there. It's sitting in Leo. And for all those people that have moon in Leo, as I do, yesterday is going to be a great hair day. And it's a little in-house joke for most astrologers. If you've got the moon in Leo and you get out of bed and your hair doesn't go right, you're having a bad hair day. The rest of the day does this follow suit, that you're not having a good day. So it's really important for people in the moon in Leo and people that are Leos that they have a good hair day. So anyway, getting back to the more serious side of astrology, we have Venus, the planet of love and affection, or the things that we love to do in our lives, is holding hands or conjunct Saturn, the planet of discipline, structure, the thing that gives us the stickability in life. And we all need that structure in our lives from time to time to be able to achieve our goals, to be able to see something through to the end, or just to give us that determination, or sometimes that lovely word called stubborn, to make us sort of really stick to something and finish something. I'm, you know, quite a stubborn person. When I make my mind up to do something, there's not many people that can make me change my mind. And I like that, because I feel then that when you've made your mind up and you're determined, you will see something through to the end, no matter what's thrown at you. And sometimes that can be a virtue, not necessarily a hindrance. So both of these planets are sitting in Pisces at the moment. Now, with Venus in Pisces, it means that we have to be very careful, and I'm talking about all the 12 signs here. If we're attracting new love in our life at this point in time, we have to make sure that we haven't got the rose-coloured glasses on, that we really do take those off and really sort of look at the person for who they are, what they stand for, how we can sort of relate to them. Is this the right relationship for me? Is this the right connection? Is this the start of something really beautiful, of, you know, a nice budding romance that's starting out on a completely different foot to any other previous relationship? And sometimes we need to look for differences like that. We need to find something fresh and new and innovative, because previous situations didn't work out, and they didn't work out for a reason or a number of reasons. So this time, yes, we do need to be looking for something fresh, innovative and new. But we also need to make sure that we're not deluding ourselves, and we're not looking through rose-coloured glasses or rose-tinted glasses, seeing only what we want to see and not really the reality. So with Saturn sitting here conjunct or holding hands with Venus, Saturn comes along and says, is a little bit like devil's advocate. You're really sure you can trust that person? You're sure they're telling you the truth? They're sure they're doing this? You're sure they're doing that? And it's like you got to go, yes, 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 no, hang on a minute, I'll give that a little bit more thought. So it's a really good balance there for anybody that's looking to start a relationship, or anybody that's just met somebody, that's finding somebody fascinating or interesting and you want to get to know them further. You'll find that there might be a little bit of a tug of war here between Venus and Saturn, sort of, you know, Venus wanting to be all starry-eyed and pink and fairy floss pink and say everything's wonderful, but Saturn comes along with the stick of reality and says, hang on a minute, just look at this and look at that. And, you know, and if we can get the balance right, then that's great. You know, you could have a very different, new, innovative, fresh type of relationship that could lead into something very much more serious and somebody that you might want to spend the rest of your life with. So don't be negative about meeting somebody that's different or presents themselves differently to what you've done in the past, because what you've got to remember, what went down in the past is the past. It didn't work for particular reasons. So we need to shake things up. We need to make things different at the moment. Still continuing on the Pisces theme, happy birthday to the final few days of Pisces. Tomorrow the sun will sort of actually move into Aries. So it is the final couple of days here of the Pisces energy. So for those late Pisceans, happy birthday. Enjoy your time of the year. Enjoy your time to shine. You also have the planet Neptune, which is your ruling planet, is conjunct the sun at the moment, or holding hands with the sun. So Neptune here, to me, it gives an enhanced ability of creativity, of being able to sort of see through the fog of things, that sometimes we enjoy sitting in the mystical fog and sort of saying, I really don't know, or I've got my creative hat on, or I'm happy to stare out the window and stare into space, because I'm on a lovely little journey of Neptune. I'm sort of, you know, out there sort of looking at what could be and what might be, and I'm trying to find a way of bringing it back into reality and making it reality of my life, the law of my life, that the new direction that I might be able to be heading. So it's a very positive sign, and it's a very positive thing when you have your own ruling planet is conjunct around your birthday time. It's even more powerful, I believe, that, you know, for Pisceans, you've got the world stage around you at the moment. You can shine. There's lots of attention on you, whether you're a public figure or whether you're just a person that goes about your daily business. It's a really positive time where we can turn around and say, look, you know, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. You either like me or you don't, and that's okay, but I'm here to stay. This is what I bring to the table. This is what I bring to the job. This is what I bring to the family. So don't let anybody dim your light at the moment if you're a Pisces. You know, enjoy the time in the limelight, and enjoy having your own ruling sign, your own ruling planet there conjunct the sun, and really sort of putting you on the center stage of your universe. So I spoke about briefly the moon sitting in Leo, and it is at the moment, and the moon's just doing his little dance around in Leo and having a good time. And anytime we've got the moon in Leo, it's sort of emotions are always animated. You know, the Leo energy is wanting to roar like a lion. So emotional situations can be a little bit tricky at the moment, no matter what your star sign is. So, you know, just make sure that you've got your listening ears on. You don't overreact. If somebody sort of treads on your toes a little bit, smile sweetly and try and find a way around that. that it's not necessarily going to annoy you or upset you, that you can sort of laugh it off and think, oh, they're a bit silly today. You know, fancy coming in here ranting and raving and jumping up and down over something so trivial. You know, find a way to diffuse the situation. Now, I'm going to go on to a part of astrology that is known as the karmic parts, or parts of known as the North Node, which is not a planet, and also Chiron, which is not a planet, but we look for as astrologers in a chart where we need to heal. It's called the wounded healer. So at the moment, we've got a fairly major configuration going on here that's going to affect the whole 12 signs. Yes, it's going to affect Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, and Libra more intensely, and then it sort of peters out and waters itself down as it moves through the other signs. But it is very important. We all do need to take notice of this, and it affects each and every one of us. So please put your listening ears on now. The North Node is showing us the way forward. Now, the North Node is karmic. It shows us where the karma is that we need to fix, or where we're sort of aiming to be in this lifetime, that we need to be sort of aiming to achieve this point. Now, the North Node is conjunct or holding hands Mercury. Now, Mercury is the planet of communication. Mercury is where we sort of communicate, whether that be in voice, whether it be in text message, emails, snail mail, whether it's just through a song or sort of writing some words down or whatever it might be. It's whatever form of communication that you are currently using at this second or at the time that you're working through something. So the North Node is trying to show us the way forward, showing us where we need to be, how we need to achieve something, what is the highest point that we can be getting to in our form of communication at the moment. Now, Mercury is also holding hands or conjunct Chiron, the planet that I spoke about, unofficial planet I spoke about earlier, the wounded healer. Now, Chiron is asking us to heal. Chiron is asking us to try and heal what ails us. Now, this can sometimes be on a karmic level. It can be on an emotional level. It can be on a subconscious level, and it can be on a physical level. And it can be all of the above tied in together. So the North Node is showing us what we're aspiring to. Mercury is telling us the way that we can achieve this is by communication, is opening our mouth, having a conversation, sharing what's on our mind and in our hearts and in our souls. And by doing this, we can then start to heal ourselves and heal those around us. Now, interestingly enough, this energy is sitting in Aries. So it's the first sign of the zodiac. It's where everything begins. So the Aries energy is about me first, and did I tell you about me first? Now, it needs to be that way because it's got to motivate us and it's got to show us, it's got to lead us into moving forward. If we didn't have that drive of somebody being the leader and we all sort of step in behind and say, yes, okay, I'm ready to go in that direction because you're showing me the way forward. So this is what's happening here. We're being shown the way forward. We're being shown how to heal. We're being shown that we can do that through good communication, that we need to communicate. We need to be aspiring to be the very best person that we can be. Now, just before I move on to the final part of astrology, I want to sort of share with you, communication comes in many forms. Sometimes it can be passive and happy and joyful and light and positive, and other times it can be unhappy. It can be angry. It can be shouting. It can be getting frustrated with people. So they're all forms of communication. I don't suggest the latter. I do suggest the first one of trying to be happy and patient and kind and put your listening ears on and listen to what the other person's got to say. And remember, they're healing also. So it's a two-way street. So be very, very careful of that. It's going to be very intense as we lead up to Easter. So make sure it doesn't end up being, you know, as we affectionately sort of say here in Australia, that, you know, when the family get together, out comes the, you know, the bad jokes and the family fist fights out in the backyard. You know, we don't need to go to that extreme. And I mean, I'm being a little bit tongue in cheek when I say that. But yes, I mean, a lot of families do have things that, you know, surface at, you know, special occasions like birthdays, Christmases and Easters. And, you know, it's a time when we need to be very aware of that. Finally, I want to talk about Jupiter, the planet of expansion and opportunity, is conjunct or holding hands Uranus, the planet of unusual and unexpected opportunities that happen very fast. It's sitting in Taurus, so yes, it's going to affect Tauruses, Virgos and Capricorns and the opposite sign of Scorpio. But it's also asking you to sort of be very careful here in what you're sort of wishing for. If you're trying to bring expansion and opportunity into your life, make sure you're doing it for the right reason. reasons, because Uranus will only bring good fortune if it's for the right reasons. Uranus will take good fortune away from you if you're doing it for the wrong reasons. So make sure that you're being very aware of what is actually sort of going on in your life, that you're doing things for the right reasons and not necessarily for selfish or destructive reasons against someone else. So we're going to take our first caller, which is Anne in Port Charlotte in Florida. Are you there, Anne?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, sweetie. Do you have a question I can answer for you, Anne?
Yes, I'm looking for Samantha. There's a spirit around me. You should spell it. It's Samantha. I don't know her last name.
But
I need her parents' name and her last name.
Oh, sweetie, that's something I can't answer. We're not able to tune in and get people's last names, telephone numbers and addresses. That's not what psychics are able to do. And if they were able to do it, we wouldn't be doing it in this format anyway, broadcasting around the world. What I can say to you is that I do feel that there will be some way of finding out some information about her, and I don't think it's that far away. It's interesting because at the moment I feel that she's trying to stay away from anybody finding out where she is. It's sort of a time where she's needed to sort herself out, to look at what's going on in her own life, and she needed to be AWOL here for a while. So it's not anything that you've particularly done wrong or anything like that. She will surface again. I feel she'll be the one to reach out to you. I don't think it's going to be too far away. I'm sort of picking up within the next 6 to 8 weeks. It's something that she needed some space. She needed some time to sort through things. And it wasn't just directed at you. It was directed at the whole of her life. It was like I think she shut herself down and moved away from a lot of people that were very important in her life, because at the moment she needed to regroup. She needed to find out what it is that she's looking for. So without going into too much detail, did the two of you have a little bit of a disagreement, did you?
No, she did.
She's what, sweetie?
She's dead.
She's passed away. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. There will be some sort of contact, though. There's some sort of news. There's something coming in the next 6 to 8 weeks relating to her. Was there some sort of... I keep being shown some sort of disagreement, and I don't know how to tie this into this. It was sort of like something that was left unsaid or something that was said that shouldn't have been said. There's something there.
Something about the children being fed?
Her children being fed?
Say?
No, I said there's something there. There's a message there coming from her. There's something there that has either had a disagreement or something is didn't it. There's an argument or something. She keeps sharing with me some sort of argument.
Between her and someone else?
Well, she's not... That's the only message that I'm being given from the other side, that there was some sort of argument. There will be some sort of information coming about her that will help you sort of come to terms with your loss here. It's coming within the next 6 to 8 weeks, but she was sort of... The energy that she was sharing with me was she needed space. She needed to sort of just not be in contact with anyone. And sometimes that's the person's right when they've passed over, that they need time to come to terms with their own passing. So I hope that's helped you, Anne. We've got to move on. We're going to talk with Deborah now in Stafford in Arizona. Are you there, Deborah?
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you, sweetie. Do you have a question I can answer for you, Deborah?
Yes, my daughter has passed, and I am curious as to what she needs me to do going forward as far as bringing the agency that was the reason for her death. It feels like I'm missing something, but I just don't know what.
Mm-hmm. Okay, first off, Deborah, I want to say how terribly sorry I am that you've lost your daughter's passed. That must be an incredibly difficult journey for you to be able to sort of get out of bed every day and try and function. I can't begin to imagine how difficult that is. You know, it's just a terrible, terrible loss. The first thing I can share with you is your daughter's fine. You know, I haven't had anybody ever come through from the other side and say to me that they're not happy, they're not fine there. They mightn't be happy to be there because they've lost everybody, but they're usually well, happy. Any ailments that they had here on earth have disappeared. You know, they're fit, they're healthy, they're not in pain or anything like that. Your daughter's sort of sharing with me that you're trying too hard. She's saying, Mum, just slow down. Mum, just take your time. She keeps saying to me, you're trying too hard, that you're, it's not that she wants you to stop, but she just wants you to take a breather and look after yourself. She keeps saying to me that since she's been gone, you haven't really stopped. You've just kept going. And you know, it's like there's nothing left in your reserve tank. She wants you to slow down and start to take care of you. And by doing that, I think then you'll find that you really haven't missed anything. It's like you've turned up at the bus stop 2 hours early to catch the bus, and you've got to sit there and you've got to wait. And that's what you've got to do at the moment. You've got to sit there, you've got to wait, you've got to let everything sort of calm down. And she wants you to start taking care of you. She keeps showing me that the tears are still uncontrollable, aren't they? That, you know, you're still, in a sense, inconceivably, you can't believe it's happened. And I can understand that and I can sympathise with that. But she wants to see you smile again, Mum. That's what she's asking for. She's sort of saying, you know, you're doing an amazing job. You're not missing anything, but please, Mum, take the time for you. She wants you to sort of slow down and not so much enjoy life. It's not so much that, but she wants you to sort of look after you, you know, like it's time for you to sort of get off this treadmill where you're not allowing yourself to breathe even properly. You know, she wants you to sort of calm down a little bit. I don't know whether this is going to be any comfort, but what she's saying to me is that, Mum, I'm an angel. I was there longer than I should have been. So I don't know how that ties in with her passing, but that's what she's sharing with me. And she's showing me that, you know, she's got a beautiful smile on her face. Did she like parties? Did she like balloons? Because she keeps showing me this big bundle of balloons that she keeps letting go of, as if she's sort of saying to me, I'm celebrating, I'm happy, I'm enjoying.
With balloons?
Yeah, the balloons. There was a big bunch of them. She's
let
them go.
We do like a balloon release every on her birthday every year.
Right. Well, she's showing me a great bundle of balloons that she's letting go of. So she... That's her.
Well,
yeah, sometimes they come through and they give me flowers or hearts or whatever. She gave me these big bundles of balloons to give to you, and then she let them go.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Does she want? I think she wants you to celebrate life again. She, you know, you'll never stop being sad. You'll never stop, you know, missing her, but she wants you to be happy again. She wants you to celebrate life. Remember the good things. Remember the things that she loved. That's really important to her.
That I do, but it brings me sadness.
Oh, of course it does. And sweetie, there's no magic words that I can say that takes the pain away. And when people used to say to me, it only takes time, I'd want to hit somebody if I'd heard that again. But in time it does, you find a place to put it. I don't think you ever get over it, but you find a place to park it. And that, you know, you've got that part of your life that you'll never forget and the beautiful times that you shared with your daughter. And then you've got life that you get on with in her honour, you know. And that's what she wants you to do. She wants you to live life for her, if you can try that, Mum.
I will give it another shot. But
yeah, and she understands your pain and she knows how sad you are. But she wants you to try, even if it's just a little bit. Each day, a little bit to do something that you know that she would love to do, or think of a song or something that made her happy, or, you know, she wants you to take the reins to your life again. She's with you all the time. She sort of sees you. You know, there's been that many times she's come up, she's wrapped her arms around you trying to stop you from crying, to sort of say to you it's okay. But because you're so locked up in your sadness, and I understand that, you haven't been able to feel that yet. And, you know, that comes in time when the immediate rawness disappears. We then sort of start to feel a different sort of comfort, I suppose, is the way I can put it. And that's what she wants you to be able to feel. But she loves you. She misses you. She sees everything that you're doing. And she just wants you to get those big bunch of balloons and let them go and celebrate life. So if you can try that, then it would be amazing. Okay, Deborah, okay. That's where we've got to leave it. We've come to the end of the show. It's really hard when people lose somebody that, you know, we don't know what's right and what's wrong and how to feel or how we shouldn't feel. I've mentioned it many times on this show. The best book I ever found on grief is called On Death and Dying by Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Get it in all good libraries, all good bookstores. It's the most amazing book. It helps everybody through any different stage of grief, and she was an expert in this subject. So that's my recommendation for that. So as I said at the beginning of the show, it's been 7 years I've been today, actually 7 years ago today, I launched here on A1R Psychic Radio, and I'm still proud to be a very major part of this network. I'm not going anywhere. It's not my last show or anything like that. I just thought I'd share that milestone with you because I like sevens. And this week I want to leave you with one of my favorite songs. And here in Australia, we call it our unofficial national anthem. It's a song by one of the most amazing singer-songwriters of our time called John Farnham. And the song's called You're the Voice. And for everybody that's ever heard the song, it has a different meaning for everybody. And it's just always been one of my favorite songs of his since he launched it probably about 30 odd years ago, nearly 40 years ago now. But it's a song that has such meaning. And, you know, we are all the voice. We can stand up. We can be counted. We don't have to sit in silence. You know, we all have something important to share with the world around us. And that's why I chose that song this week to mark my 7th anniversary, because we are all individuals. We all do have a voice, and we do need to stand up and be counted. And what we've got to say is important. Even if it isn't world shattering, it's important in our little universe. So until next week, bye for now and have a great week. Bye.